Today I want to talk about my realization that we need to be shown. We need to be shown. We don't need to be told as much as we need to be shown. We need images. We need help forming those images. About 2 months ago, I met a very successful real estate owner investor. His name and his financial condition are the same, Rich. He mentioned to me that he had a mentor who showed him the ropes in real estate investing about 30 years earlier. When Rich had a possible real estate opportunity, he could and did take it to his mentor. His mentor would give him ideas about it. In other words, he helped Rich see it from several different perspectives in order to determine if it was a workable good deal or not. He was shown how some opportunities were, in fact, good, and some only appeared to be but were not. Because he was shown repeatedly, he could see them for himself later on. Recently, I've been working on a little woodworking project here in our hometown. I had been shown the image of what I wanted to replicate. I saw it in a magazine. And between that image and my own imagination, that I was being shown some of what I needed to do. I didn't have the complete process or the complete picture. In my hometown, we are staying near or in a boatyard. And Bruce, the partner in Wooden Boatworks, one of the companies that rents from my brother John, he suggested, when he knew what I was trying to do, that I speak with Scott. Scott works for him. He said Scott was an excellent woodworker, and in fact, he was a furniture maker as well. So I found Scott, told him what I was trying to do, and asked for his opinion as the type of wood that I should be using. He told me, and explained it very clearly, clearly enough for me to have a picture of it in my mind, and then I went to the lumber company and bought the wood. I came back, asked Bruce for permission to use some of the woodworking equipment in the shop, and he said, of course, just don't hurt yourself. I said, okay, that agrees with my plans. My father was an attorney, but he liked to work with wood, and he liked to work with metal, and he liked to work on cars. He was a foreman in an aircraft manufacturing plant in Queens, New York during the Second World War. So he had some sense of all of this kind of equipment that you would use in a process like that. My father's father, whom I never met, was a butcher. So my father worked as a child in that business as well. And my father had skills of being able to cut hair, which actually is a really good skill when you have 7 children who all have hair. I must have learned something from my father and what he was showing me down in the cellar of our home when we were growing up, where he had metalworking tools, woodworking tools, and so on, because I seemed to know which tools to use and how to use them. So just by osmosis or visual images, I seemed to have gained value from being shown. Walking from my car the other day, when I came back to the boatyard, I saw Nick, one of the employees at Wooden Boatworks. Nick had told me previously how he got started working with wood and working on boats. He said he had built a boat when he was a teenager. That seems kind of interesting, right? Somebody showed him a boat. Somebody showed him the processes, and he could see himself doing that, and he did it. So I said to Nick, here's a little project I'm working on, what do you think? He looked at it, he said, okay. He took a pencil and he drew on the prototype. He said, I think you're going to want to chisel out this part as well to make it smoother. So, and if you draw it beforehand, it'll become more symmetrical. Literally, he showed me by drawing a few lines on the prototype using a pencil. And it came to him so naturally, and it was real valuable to me to be able to see that. Back to Scott. Scott was working at another location where they work on boats. But I did see him, and I didn't have access to a chisel. Couldn't buy it in the local lumber company. Ace Hardware didn't have the chisel. So I asked Scott if he had wooden chisels. So I followed him to his car. He looked in his trunk, and lo and behold, he had them all nicely wrapped up in a package. He said, "Here, you can use these." Later, he brought me a round rasp, saying, "You're going to need this, too, to smooth out your work after you're done chiseling." I said, "Oh, that's cool." He told me where to leave the tools when I was done with them, on the workbench. I said, "You know, the bench by the windows?" He said, "Yep." So I had a clear picture of where to leave the tools when I was done. He verbally told me, which is another way, if it's clearly done, of being shown. So now I'm working in the shop, and Scott is too, but I interrupted him. I said, "Tell me how you got started with woodworking." He said, "Okay. My father was a dentist, and working with wood was his hobby. He made furniture, and he got me to help. Now, I wasn't into it, but he kept showing me how to do things little by little. I started to like some of these processes, how to use a tool and how to cause an effect. I liked it. When I was 13, my father said, "Hey, Scott, let's build a boat." And so I helped him, and that sealed the deal. I was hooked into building things out of wood. Scott was shown. He was shown by his father. I was shown by my father. Rich, the real estate investor, was shown by his mentor. Nick was shown. We all need to be shown. The other day, Marianne and I joined my brother John behind the boatyard. We're going to sit down and talk and have a Guinness. And as we were talking, two other people came behind the boathouse, which overlooks the marina, and Cindy, one of them, she's an artist, she paints, and her friend Allison came and sat down too. Previously, Cindy told me that she got started painting because somebody showed her how to paint. She, even now, as a professional painter, doing shows in Florida and recently in Maine, as well as locally in Greenport, she still has a mentor, a coach, showing her how to do certain things with regard to painting. Now, Cindy's specialty and the thing that she loves, painting boats, waterfronts, marinas, docks, birds, trees, anything near water. She was shown. In this conversation, I met Allison for the first time, and she said she had just purchased a 37-foot motorboat at the beginning of the summer. And John was showing her how to pilot it. He was showing her all the systems on a boat, how to control it going out of the marina and coming back into the marina, when it's windy and when it's not windy, how to use maps to navigate to Connecticut and elsewhere. She was shown. When I say we all need to be shown, I don't mean somebody walks up to us and hands us a picture. Here, there. Consider yourself shown. That's not it at all. That's not it at all. I think, upon consideration, that being shown at least involves these steps, and maybe more. You get to decide that. Here are five steps. First, being shown as somebody actually does it. They're doing the activity that you're being shown. Two, being able to do it with supervision and guidance, along with the ability to ask questions. Am I doing this right? Is this right? Or what do I do now? And not only asking those questions, but being able to get understandable, reasonable feedback as you're doing it. It seems to me that this step at the beginning of being shown the images of yourself doing it, you know, here you are with supervision, somebody is looking over your shoulder as you're doing this activity. This is the beginning of us having images of us doing it, taking the action. That, to me, is really important. The third step, being able to do it on our own, well, without supervision, starting the process right from the very beginning, when there's nothing set up, nothing, you know, we're not stepping into it midway, but we start from scratch, if you will, and start in and bring it all the way to conclusion. The fourth step would be seeing ourselves as effective enough to show somebody else how to do it, using ourselves as the example, right? So watch me while I do it kind of thing, which is that step number one, except now we are the doer. And the fifth step is being able to supervise and guide and answer questions thoroughly, any questions that come up for confusion that might arise for a person as she or he is doing it. So now we're capable of mentoring or teaching or coaching or guiding somebody else. And that would be the fifth step. That makes sense to me. That now, if you go through all of those, consider yourself shown. People sell all kinds of products and services, but a great majority of those products and services are not really used effectively. Like a bought book, right? A lot of these things just go up on the shelf because they're not easy to start using. Well, like, I don't know how to get started. I don't know what to do. I don't know. And they go up on the shelf. With the products and services sold for the purpose of helping people become internet marketers, for instance, and of course those things are sold by internet marketers, there are a lot of videos and audios teaching how to. Video one, video two, audio this, audio that. Those things are common, but somehow these things seem to be insufficient. I think that being shown how to do something, it has to result in us seeing ourselves doing the action. Seeing ourselves doing the action repeatedly and skillfully enough to get us through maybe the phases of what I call the energy model of life. Get us through from energy acquisition to preservation to translation to energy expression to release what we can't use, and then finally to get the closure. If we can see ourselves with regard to this action, be it woodworking or baking or internet marketing, and finally get the closure, then we have been shown. To me, that sense of closure has to be powerful enough, has to be clean enough to fuel us for doing the activity and other activities over and over again. Doing things one time and then quitting, that's not where it's at. But we need to be able to do them repeatedly. And if we can get the energy, literally from, I got good feelings out of doing that. We didn't spend our energy. We didn't spend our attention. We didn't pay our attention. We would have gotten benefits. We would have reaped a harvest that, hey, I got more energy now at the end of the process than I had when I started. It's like, whoa, what does that mean? It feels like I just came in contact with a perpetual motion machine, right? I didn't run out of energy. I invested it and got more than I started. I like that. I like that process. The other day, sitting on the back of our boat, I watched a man, I'm guessing could have been the grandfather, and a little girl, maybe about 6 years old. They were in a small rubber boat propelled by a little teeny outboard motor, and they were just going slowly around the harbor, looking at boats and looking at docks. And I could hear him talking to her, couldn't really make out what he was saying, but I could see him pointing and her turning her head in the direction of the pointing. He was showing her around. She was being shown. I think that's pretty, pretty impressive. Because in the process of being shown, awareness naturally increases. She's seeing birds, she's seeing boats, sailboats, powerboats, docks, bulkheads, whatever else was being pointed at, whatever else was coming into her awareness. And as awareness increases, we're better able to decide whether to bond with or to reject the object we're aware of. Of course, in most cases, the goal of being shown, like this grandfather and this little girl, was to create bonding. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that cool? Isn't that interesting? Isn't that fill in the blank? So that a person likes the object and likes the picture of them relating to that object. I don't have any doubts in my mind that a child having that kind of an experience is going to be so much more comfortable in a rubber boat, in a marina, looking at docks and boats and so on. That's like, hey, now all of this stuff is within her field of appreciation. I said it the other day to a friend, I'd like to learn how to play the piano and to play the drums. And she quickly said, have you taken lessons? Answer, no. And this is a perfect example of the downsides of not being shown. For years, I have said to myself, and maybe to other people, I would like to know how to play the piano and the drums. But I don't do anything productive in the way of learning either the piano or the drums. I haven't been shown, and obviously, based upon the evidence, I am not able, and I'm, I guess, not willing to do things to show myself sufficiently. I'm not turning on YouTube videos, although I've looked at them for drums, but they somehow, it's not working. I thought, you know what, I've been thinking about acquiring a drum set, but a minute later, I realized, wait, just because I can acquire, buy, or rent things easily enough, the real issue is using them effectively. Just because I can afford a modest drum set doesn't mean I will know how to play it. In fact, I got a lot of evidence that indicates just the opposite. You know, that proverbial, I bought it, I acquired it, where's the shelf? And I put it up on the shelf. When I grow up, I would like to be a successful internet marketer. I want to market my own ideas. That's really what I want. I want to market my own ideas in the form of e-books, books, or workshops, teleseminars, videos, training programs, workbooks, webinars, you name it. That's what I want to do. I love the idea of videos. You know how I know that? Because I buy video-producing software on a regular basis. But I don't learn how to use the software. It goes on the shelf in my hard drive. In the self-improvement industry, it's said that only about 3% of people who buy software, books, audio programs, video programs, training programs, only about 3% actually use the information and apply it effectively. 97% don't. I am in that 97% with regard to creating videos that I could use to create products and I could use to create marketing for those products. So the question, of course, for most of us is, what will help me or anyone else move from the 97% category into the 3% category of people who effectively use the products and services that they buy, the books and tapes and programs that they buy? Not everybody wants to be shown. The reason for that, maybe, is a belief or a set of beliefs. That impulse to self-protect is very strong in human beings and living things generally, and it is extremely strong in some people. Being shown can be interpreted as, now you're expected to do something. you're expected to be something, do something, or have something that is different than the current states of being, doing, and having. And being shown requires a receptivity that is an admission that you don't know everything. And for some people, that's a challenge. I'll have to ask directions. I'll ask for help. I have to ask for this. Oh, wow, that makes me vulnerable. No, it doesn't. But it's very easy from a very highly self-protected point of view to interpret it that way. Reaching for something new or different can trigger fears of risk. Well, I'm vulnerable if I have to reach for something or ask for that. There's an increase of responsibility. I could be blamed. If something goes wrong, if I do something, I could do it wrong, and that could hurt me physically or emotionally. Sure it could. Some people have developed the skills of getting others to do for them. That way, the potential blame is avoided, or at least it can be attributed to the other people. I didn't do it. They did it. He did it. She did it. I didn't do it. But let's talk about the rest of us. Those of us who want to increase our awareness through being shown so we can be and do and have more effectively, we can cause desirable results. Consider these points. See if you believe these things to be true. Half a dozen things. Everything that you know, you have been shown. Everything you know, you have been shown. Everything you believe about yourself, you have been shown by other people or by yourself. Everything you know how to do, you have been shown by others or by yourself. You might have learned it through trial and error. Everything you have is because you were shown by others and by yourself the value of having it, and so you acquired it. Being shown in each of the steps that I mentioned earlier is like having a picture painted with us in it, and that picture becomes a part of our lives. It becomes a part of our consciousness. It becomes part of how we see ourselves in the world. Consider those ideas and see if they appear to be true for you. Albert Einstein said, "Imagination is more important than knowledge." Isn't imagination the ability to create images? Aren't we showing ourselves images when we use our imagination? I think it was Vincent van Gogh who said he imagined a picture of a flower, and then he tried to make that picture appear on the canvas. That's what he did. I got this image, boom, and then he tried to transpose it onto canvas. But bringing things into physical manifestation is that idea. I have an image in mind, and now I'm going to bring it into physical manifestation. Think of all the ways we attempt to be shown how to be or to do or to have. Really, when you think of it, isn't compulsory education the idea that we're striving to show children certain facts and figures and processes so that they can more importantly participate in society? The learning, that i.e. the showing, is supposed to prepare us to belong to the workforce so that we can be productive and participate in the economy, and in theory build a stronger, better community, better family, better country, better world. If we look at American behaviors with regard to television viewing or movie attendance and movie watching, you could say we are being shown. We're being shown disrespect and violence and cruelty and fear and greed and a whole bunch of other things by television and movies. We can look at the behaviors out on the street and realize, oh wow, the images on TV and in movies have come to life. They're being replicated in real life in neighborhoods throughout the country. We are also being shown sick consciousness forms, and we're being infected by them. The hatred, the rejection, all of this stuff. And then people act those things out toward family members, toward strangers, toward themselves. All of that evil we saw on TV, that we were shown, we bring it to life. We can be shown almost anything today because of the internet, and really quickly too, right? Google anything and it will be instantly available to you. How-to videos on YouTube, they're wonderful and convenient ways of being shown techniques. I've used that, how to do this, boom. Go through a video or two and like, okay, now I know what to do. But horrible images are available for viewing too. If you want to be shown the best of human consciousness, use the internet to find it, to read about it, and to see it. The same is true if you want to be shown the worst of human consciousness. You can find it using the internet. Better, safer, and purer would be to reach out in thought and feeling to divine consciousness and asking for enlightenment. The awareness we're seeking, which is another way of saying, I want to be shown, comes directly from divine consciousness. Our ability to perceive these images, this awareness, is controlled and affected by our own level of consciousness. While most prayers from human beings to the power they call God or seem to be directed at, give me this, dear God, or give me that, dear God, or do this for me, dear God, or do that for me, dear God, help me with this, dear God, or help me with that, common sense would tell us we would be happier and healthier if we were just shown God. If we sought to be shown God, if we sought to understand and experience God, wouldn't it follow that we would be shown everything? Listen to the second sentence of the prayer from Letter 8 from Christ Returns Reveals Startling Truth that I'm going to end this service with. Just second sentence. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. Here's the sentence. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We ask you to show us the true reality of yourself. We ask to be shown the true reality of you. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal, loving intelligence, which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness. And as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.